like pack searching through a 7-Eleven. So are the days of our cards.
G'day everyone, welcome to Days of Our Cards. It's a new podcast here on Gimco. And I'm your host, the Mojo King. And then my special guest today is the one and only Dominic Zoimek, who you would have seen. He does NFL breaks, he does poker breaks, he does everything. He runs Gimco, he's got a full-time job. He's a man of many talents.
Full-time wife, too.
There he is. And does it all for the love of this great thing we call the card collecting hobby. So I thought the very first podcast we'd get, I'd bring Dom in. He didn't want to do it, but I said no. He said, nah, people don't want to hear what I've got to say. I said, yes, they do. You got to think a bit better than that. So we'll get underway. I've got a list of things I want to talk to Dom about. I haven't told him. We're just going to go off the cuff here. Let's get it underway, Dominic.
Yeah, let's get it on.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to start with Gimco. What is it?
It's a good question, Steve, by Mojo King, for those. It's a site for collectors. So it started life in 2013 when there was a few disgruntled people. It started with about 20 people being disgruntled in the hobby about, you know, nowhere for people to, I guess, connect and do what we love, and that's collecting cards. And at the time, eBay was getting harder to use, becoming more expensive. They were freezing people's money, wanting to hold it for 21 days and all that other crap. So it was born from basically that.
Okay.
So yeah.
Vision.
The vision. Well, has the vision panned out? I don't know. The ideal was, you know, for everyone in the hobby, Steven, to essentially, you know, group together, help each other out, like we've done over the years. Yeah. With the breaks and Eureka. But as you know, there are cliques out there where people just don't want to be part of the community. So we're getting there slowly with people, but would have been nice if everyone wanted to join in and have...
Well, that's the thing. I didn't know Gimco, obviously. I came on after you'd already started. But I found it amazing that I was getting charged 10% on selling things on eBay. And once they introduced charging on the postage as well, that was it for me. I never sold on eBay anymore. And you offer a service for 4% flat rate. There is nothing on that. I thought this is going to take off. This is going to be huge, because once the word gets out there, I think that, you know, the world's your oyster with it, because you offer a great service. You're there. You're the front man for it. You're available. I know you work a full-time job. Everyone knows. Well, I don't know if everyone knows that, but everyone should. The long hours you do, you're still available to talk to people if they have a problem with it or want to join. You find a way to do it. So I think that it can only go up from here with the word if it gets out enough. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And as you know, you've been a great ambassador yourself, and Dan in the past. Yeah. Unfortunately for him, he had to go to get a job, and it's taken up his time. But we've got you know, people at shows that hand out flyers, and we've got a few sellers on there now as well who have had moderate success selling some of their cards. And at the moment, we're slowly expanding to other ventures. So it started as, you know, trading cards, then it went into breaks. In a million years, I never envisioned that breaks would take off and become, you know, the core function of the site. But as we know, everyone loves entertainment, and breaks has just become part of everyone's life on the site. So most people, as we know, most jobs aren't that fun out there. So when they finish their job, they want to come home, enjoy the hobby that they love, and they get to watch a couple grown men fall around on camera and enjoy what they see and hit. So hopefully we've done a good job of it, and hopefully will continue for a few more years to go.
Well, in a perfect world, your vision for the future of Gymco, where would you like to see it head?
Well, I'd like to see it go a bit more beyond cards. So with me, especially coming from Tasmania, in my younger years, the trading card hobby died in the 90s, and the only other thing I collected, and all my other friends, we went to video games, for example. And when I moved to Melbourne, it was still somewhat popular here. Not as big as it was in the 90s, but early 2000s.
Yeah.
The hobby was somewhat booming, so I got back into it. So there are many other collectors out there who used to be like me, you know, collected cards. They probably don't even know the cards are back in the scene and that they've changed, that they've improved. I mean, I talked to someone who didn't even know what a jersey card was. To him, all he remembers is flashy foil cards from the 90s.
Well, that's a bit like me. I was a hardcore collector up to about 95 in the boom of NBA and AFL, and then kind of had a kid and kind of got off collecting cards, had other priorities in life. And then out of the blue, my mum brought me some packets of cards and knocked at the door and kind of started that that bug again, I suppose. Opened a few packs, hit a nice little insert and thought, oh yeah, I might get the set. So I started buying a few packs. Then packs went to a box went to cases, cases went to multiple cases, and here I am today. So I think there is a lot of people out there that have fallen away that used to collect and probably don't understand that it's back. It's really back in a big way. But now we've talked about Gymco, I want to talk a little bit about yourself. You started collecting when?
Cards in general or anything?
What else do you collect other than cards? What is out there for you?
I guess growing up in communist Poland back in the 80s and 90s, as bad as it sounds in Australia, we actually we used to actually collect guns.
Okay.
So my dad had a gun collection, which you had to do back then to survive, essentially. So you trade that for other things, and essentially I ended up with a couple AK-47s that I got to keep. Unfortunately, I didn't get to bring them to Australia, but that doesn't matter. When I got here, video games, they were so expensive. I didn't know what video games were.
Yeah.
And essentially, my first console was the Nintendo.
First Nintendo.
So yeah. I couldn't afford it new. So my dad, we went to the secondhand store, and some guy was coming out with a Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers, and the secondhand shop wanted to give him $20 and he didn't take it. So my dad offered him 50 and he gave it to us.
Okay.
So that's how I started there. And then with cards.
Where was the love of basketball? Yeah,
basketball.
You are a lover of basketball cards.
That's true. That started with Fleer. So it was a little shop called Card Zone, not the one in Melbourne, but in Hobart. And it was the cheapest product they had. So I said, you know what, I'll try my luck. And the reason I actually like basketball was, ironically, I'm the same height that I am pretty much in grade 7.
Okay.
So I used to be one of the tallest kids. So the only sport for a tall kid then was football and basketball.
Yep.
So I used to play basketball and loved it a lot. So that's how I got into the trading cards. And as I said, Fleer was the cheapest option because back then I didn't really have much money. And they actually had, you know, the nicest designs. And so from there, I started mastering sets, and I just had to have the full sets because the way they designed the background and the player on top, it was just like a, you know, a masterpiece when you had them all in one. And it just kept going. So that started in 93 and went all the way to about 96. Then the card hobby died in Hobart. And then in 2007, I picked it up again in Melbourne. Okay. So
now, I've seen your card collection. You've got an unbelievable Fleer collection, but your Michael Jordans are outstanding. But is there a Holy Grail you haven't got that you are still looking for?
Holy Grail. I'd love to... There's two. I'd love to one day get the 1961 Fleer set. The problem is I like high grades, so a PSA 9 Wilt Chamberlain.
Now, some people listening won't understand grades, because grading is not, in Australian card market, it's not... Well, people aren't, you know, desiring that. It's more an American market thing. People here that collect NBA cards or NFL cards, whatever, they do like to send them to get graded. What is grading?
Well, grading is simply you get it sent to a company like Beckett Grading Service or PSA, and effectively they look at your card. So they'll look at the centering, they'll look at the corners, they'll look at the surface quality, and then they'll slab it in a hard plastic box and they'll give it a grade.
Yep.
So 10 is generally pristine or mint. So you won't get many cards like that. Most cards will grade somewhere between 7 to 8. You get a few 9s, and very rare to get a 10.
What do you think it'll ever take off here, grading in Australian sports cards?
I'd like to see it, especially with the older cards, because then at least the other thing with grading, it guarantees by experts that they are a legitimate card, so not a reprint. Correct. So, like the old Scanlons, it would be nice to see a mint set, you know, graded a 10 or something, or a 9 even. Which, I mean, there is one company out there, Card Grading Australia. So, they've been trying to convince Australians that that's the right market to be in, and it's slowly taken off, and I think eventually people will start to value graded cards more.
Yeah.
Than non-graded. But saying that, I still do collect ungraded cards, because I do build master sets, so they all go in 9 pocket pages. That includes PMGs, precious metal gems, which are green, number to 10.
Yep.
So if anyone sees a Michael Jordan number to 10 in a 9 pocket, it's because it's part of the set.
Well, yeah, I think that will grow eventually. The American card market to the Australian card market, I find completely different. I think your Australian rules collector or your NRL collector compared to your NBA and NFL is a totally different beast, different mentalities as well.
It definitely is, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's actually interesting when you, certain things work for the NBA that don't work on the AFL. They're all cards, but the different mentalities it's been an eye-opener for me. You'd see it more often. You run Gimco, so you're dealing with, you know, non-sports and a whole different genre of people that collect all different things. It's interesting that. I don't know if it'll ever take off, but I'd like to see it take off as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it'll take off as much as it has in America, but I think older sets, they should be protected and valued.
I agree with that.
And as you know, before then, there was no Ultra Pro or BCW protection. So,
well, most people had them in a lacquer band. That's the,
yeah,
you lacquer band and threw it in a shoebox, or you threw it in your cupboard and forgot about them.
Yep. So all those old cards, if someone can build a mint set, it will be an amazing feat to have them graded and, you know, preserved in history, I think.
Yeah, correct. Now, on another topic, it's a bit of a, well, it's caused a bit of uproar with a current product, the new AFL.
Uproar, eh?
It has caused an uproar. People have been upset that the checklist hasn't come out. Now, what's your thoughts? I'll give you my thoughts, and then you give me your thoughts.
Okay? All right, we'll do.
This is my thought on it. For far too long now, that AFL cards with pre-sellers, someone would list a card for $30, then the next bloke would list it for $25, the next bloke would want to be cheaper and get it for $20, and then someone would list it for $10, auction. Now, that's great if you're buying. It's terrific. You're picking up cheap cards. But the problem was, before the product was even released, your value of your box was diminished to a rate that, if it's something didn't break, I think it would struggle. You'll struggle to start selling cards in general, that's particularly AFL ones. So I'm for it. I like it. You don't. You can show them what kind of cards. You don't need to show the ratios. Everyone knows that, you know, the checklist will come out, you know, a day before it comes out. It's kind of stopping the pre-sellers. And the argument is, well, it just stops them for, you know, when it's released, they'll still do it anyway. But it gives everyone an even keel, I think. There's no, you know, backdoor deals or, you know, the pre-selling had to stop, for mine. I don't know. What's your opinion?
Look, I agree. And especially with certified,
yeah,
we know what was there last year. So common sense says there was 8 jerseys, or Guernseys, as they say in Australia, and Guernsey autos. There's another 8 teams this
year.
9. So, yeah, 18. So it'll be the other 9 teams that will get something. And this year they are the big clubs, the ones that have been around for many years. So people should know that whatever they hit is going to be worth something anyway. So you don't need to, you know, pre-sell. You don't need to know what the names are. You don't need to try to undercut everyone. The players and those teams will sell themselves.
They will.
So
that's my next question. You, by the time this goes up, everyone will know anyway. The adding of the number to 40 card. What do you think? Give your honest opinion.
The number
for 40? Those who don't know,
yes,
you'll know when this goes to air anyway. That Select have added a card in this year's Select, an extra card numbered to 40, one per team. It's called Indulgence. Every team's got one. Now, I've got mixed emotions about it myself because, as you just said then, the teams that were in this year's Certified would sell themselves. You got Collingwood, you got Carlton, you got Essendon, Hawthorn, all have jerseys and patch autos. So I'm unsure that it needed it. Look, it's great. It's more value to your case, but what will it do to the other cards? I don't know. We'll find out in the next few weeks. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it is just one card at the moment.
Yeah.
We've seen in the American sports like NBA, stars like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all the, you know, the big players from the 80s and 90s, because of all these short print runs, the cards that are numbered to say 100, for example, they've become worthless.
Yep.
And I mean, when I grew up, I mean, Larry Bird, if I ever pulled a Larry Bird auto, you know, I'd be over the moon. Now,
well,
it's just,
I still would be now.
I would be too,
I
yes.
I would be, but you're right. It's once upon a time. Look, in the AFL market, a Gary Ablett Sr. was the holy grail. But when cards are down, you can pick one up for now for 600. It's like, what's happened? Why is it? Is it because there is so many numbered cards? Or is it, should we pull back? Should we pull forward? What do you think?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'd approach it cautiously, mainly because, as we've seen with the NBA, I mean, you can pick up autos, an autograph for a dollar.
That's my argument with footy. The worst draft pick signature, you know, a guy who never played, there's a few, or some of those Richmond draft where they should have taken Franklin, Patterson and Tambling, you still get your $30 for it, where your American market, for a bloke that hasn't done much in the NBA, it's you're finding $1 autos. I just don't understand it, to be honest. I hope and I pray that Select don't go down that market of just adding stuff for the sake of adding it. I'd hate to see it go down that way.
I mean, I'd agree. And the other thing is the difference between the Australian market and the American market,
apart from the size
is we still have a lot of master set collectors.
Correct.
So if you start putting too many rare things, like we've seen with some other products, they'll become maybe team collectors.
Yes.
And then
I think that's happening anyway.
It is, yeah.
I think team collectors are... I've had a chat with a few older blokes that some of the old timers have been master set collectors for years. And when they said that last year there were 731 inserts, they said they just stopped doing it because it just got too hard. Yeah, it's a fine line. what you do there, because you want to put as much in as you can, but you don't want to upset your tried and true that has been there since day dot as well. Yeah, I don't know.
Only 700.
700 plus. Yeah, but it, for the Australian market,
that is.
We're used to a background of when you got 132 common cards, that was a set.
Yep.
It's only since the 90s that, you know, inserts and things. For me, I bust, you know how many boxes I bust a week. They give me enjoyment. Look, I love the ride, but getting the 30 cents out of my mum's purse and running to the milk bar to buy a packet of cards that had no inserts,
yep,
will always beat it. Now, for most people who were born past, you know, in the 90s, they wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. But back in the day, 30 cents got you a packet of cards, six or seven cards and a chewing gum. And it was fun. You look forward to it. It was still hard to put a set together because you got, you know, so many doubles and whatever, but you traded. What's happened to trading? Does trading happen anymore? I see some bad signs with collecting. I don't know how many collectors are left, to be honest. How many people are actual collectors that, look, collect their cards and put them away? I know you do that. You're a hardcore collector. I collect too many things.
Mm, me too, yeah. Well, you can see the my room around here.
Sitting in his house at the moment, and you'd be struggling to get a seat anywhere. But, I mean, I collect pops, action figures, movies, you name it. Wrestling's a love of mine. I know you have to. It's hard to collect everything, and I'm going to make that choice eventually because you just can't keep going with everything. But I was a guy who now only collects Carlton. But in general, what I see now is the collector's a dying breed.
They are, and the other issue is the kids. That
yeah, definitely.
They'll be collecting maybe Team Coach, Pokemon or whatever, and then they suddenly just vanish, a lot of them.
A lot of them don't, yeah, they don't become.
They go to gaming or whatever, and they don't come back to the hobby at the moment. Well, there's a few, but you... I mean, because I work with a lot of, let's just call them older or elder people.
Yeah.
And their kids, they're probably 15 to 10 years younger than me. And half of them, when I tell them I collect footy cards and basketball, they just laugh at me going, what the hell?
Oh, I get that too. I say it's around my work and they say, you do what? And I said, cards. And they go, what? A bit old, aren't you? And I was like, hey.
Well, they do. And then when you tell them, this card is worth more than your card, they go, what? Why would you even pay that much for a card? And they just don't understand, you know, the meaning, the background, you know.
Correct.
Because it's the childhood we grew up with. Before, you know, we did have, I guess, for me, the internet probably kicked in when I was in high school. So for you.
Well, for me, I had no internet growing up. So for me, it was play footy, play cricket, play sport outside.
Yep.
Come home, play your... For me, it was always the Commodore 64, then the Amiga, then the Nintendo, and collect cards.
Yep.
And I'd make games with the cards. I'd do, you know, whatever you could, put them in a line, make sure you got your team out, whatever. And now, I think the internet has kind of... It's made people, shy away from it.
It has. I mean, we used to sit around, talk about the cards we had. We trade, and now...
Well, school, at our school...
Yeah.
Trading cars was huge.
Same. They even let me sell them at the fair, which is odd, you know, for a school to let kids sell cards to other kids that came from other neighborhoods. But now it's like, I mean, even with smartphones, I mean, just when you're out there, go look at someone at lunchtime. There'll be a table of six people. They'll be eating their sandwich or whatever, and they'll be typing on their smartphone with the other hand.
You go to the cinemas and people are watching a movie and they're still on there texting away. Look, I've said this before, even to my kids. Would anyone be surprised if they saw anything happen these days? Everyone's desensitized. I think we lost something with the internet. You can see anything now. Nothing's shocking.
That is true.
I mean, you put it on and you see whatever, and I don't know, it's hard. I think it's hard to be a kid these days, to be honest. I think it was much simpler in the past.
It was, and you actually got to enjoy being a kid. Now there's too many pressures. You know, you got to get this score, that score, this school, whatever. When I grew up, there was none of that. Teachers forcing you to stay back, learn extra. It was just we actually had footy during school time.
Well, every Friday. I was going to save this for another podcast, but I'll say it now. Cricket was huge for me in the 80s and 90s.
Mm.
Every summer, our teacher would bring in the TV, grade 4 to 6, and we'd watch the first ball of the first test, always.
Mm.
What's happened to cricket? It's like...
It's dead.
It's...
Yeah.
Because they've thrashed it. I mean, you got Foxtel now. There's a cricket match on every day. You can watch cricket every single day. There's something happening somewhere, and you get to see it all.
Yep.
I think the TV revenue as well is kind of... I don't know. More sometimes isn't more. Less is more.
I agree. I mean, especially with... I mean, IPL, it's good in the sense that they're smashing the ball a lot, but it favours the batsman. Yeah. If you're going to put... the 2020 cricket... So IPL, you've got Big Bash, you've got the England equivalent.
Every country,
has their own Big Bash / 2020 league. You either got to get rid of the 50-over matches, one-day matches, or cut back on something.
See, and 50 overs was once...
It was...
I mean, when they used to do the tri series, you loved it when it was West Indies and Pakistan and there was a final. There were just too many meaningless...
Yep.
Meaningless games that mean nothing. I watch the World Cups and I like watching a few of the Test series, but it's a dying thing for me. I think I speak for a few that it's losing something, cricket.
It is, and they've lost the characters as well.
Ricky Ponting retired, that was it for me. That was like the last of the characters.
It was the end of a dynasty for Australia, basically.
Correct.
And I don't know if... I mean... In Test cricket, you used Ashes in Australia. That was the biggest thing, apart from footy.
Well, it was.
You'd want to... It was a rivalry.
Yeah.
Now it's just like...
Now India's kind of... Australia-India's become a big rivalry, and I've always loved the Australia-South Africa series, back to Hansie Cronje days, when they came back into it. But you're right. It's... I don't know. It's overplayed. I think we've had how many Ashes series in the last few years? There's been like 5, I reckon, in the last 10.
I think, about 5, and that's mainly because of the Olympics. They moved them around too much, and it's lost its meaning.
It has lost its meaning. So it'd be like if the World Cup, I mean, if we're talking sports, World Cup for me is probably number one, and I've loved it since I was, my sister married a Scottish man, and he got me into the world game. So I started following the Premier League and then obviously started following world football and fell in love with England, and I've been a disappointed England fan ever since, to be honest. The heartache. I mean, I love Australia, and the 2005 World Cup campaign where we qualified for 206 is probably the number one sporting thing I've ever witnessed. I saw 95 Carlton win a flag, but the World Cup... Because I was along that journey, I saw Australia lose to Israel. I saw Australia lose to Uruguay. I saw Australia lose to Argentina and not qualify. And Iran, obviously, when they should have won and gave up that 2-0 lead to draw 2-2. And to see that was just amazing. Soccer has got the potential to be huge here. But now even that's getting overplayed. I mean, once upon a time, you'd watch your Italian soccer on a Sunday, you get an hour of highlights. You'd watch your English Premier League on a Monday night, world soccer on a Saturday, and there was still a little bit of, I want to see more. Now it's down your throat 24/7. Someone breaks a fingernail, there's a front page story on it, I don't know. The less is more mentality, I think, needs to come back a little bit. I don't think it will. Just look at the AFL.
Mm.
With the footy show, the happenings, we were there.
We were,
We saw the last...
That was an eye-opener,
It was an eye-opener. But the footy show had advantage because once upon a time, players never said anything. So the only time you ever saw a player talk was on the footy show. And they had broke stories and they did things that weren't done. Now, how many footy shows are there? Foxtel's got one every night.
They do, and then you got the... Channel 7 has their own. Channel 7's
got their own. The coverage is huge, but by more, do we get less?
And now you got Twitter, so the players are
do it themselves.
Do it themselves. And
clubs
yeah.
do it themselves. On to breaks now.
Breaks, yes.
Where did you get breaks? Where did you... You saw them in America?
Well, yeah, America. And there was a couple in Australia doing it locally, not online. It's just in person.
Okay.
We'd catch up in groups. So I started as a little hobby, you know, where a few mates got together. But you're right. The main concept came from America. And the thing that bugged me with those breaks was it was very, I guess, factory-like. So they're pulling out a card, they're reading out the player. They're not even saying who's got the card.
Yeah.
I don't even know who's in that break. Who, if anyone, whoever hit the big hit, you just don't know.
Well, we know that from...
Well, we do.
For people that don't understand what a break is, too, and there will be some that probably listen to this that don't. It's basically you break down a box and everyone gets a team, and you get all the cards from that box for that team. Now, it might cost you $10, it might cost you $100. It depends on what it is. And, you know, you might get a $1,000 card or you might get nothing. That's part of it. And it's enjoyable and, you know, it's a bit of fun. Majority is all good banter and there's a, you know, good fun had by all, but not always. Sometimes it turns nasty.
It does, yes. Especially in trade periods.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, what was I leading to? Yeah, so with the American breaks, it was like a factory. And the other thing that annoyed me was they were using outdated resolutions and low-quality 4x3 pictures. And I was watching it on live stream or Ustream. Everyone used to use that. And it was like... Cool, this guy just says, oh, I've put a 1-on-1, and then suddenly an ad would pop up.
Oh, God.
And you're like, what the hell did he hit? And you're thinking, cool, I'll be able to see it after. Yeah, no, because it's live. He's already showed the card, moved on to the next box, because they do it as a factory, so they don't talk about the card at all. And you're like, well, shit, I don't know who hit what. And even Facebook now, they've got the live thing.
Yep.
I've noticed... Now, I don't know if that's a user option or if it's a Facebook force thing, but just watching someone, you know, they're broadcasting their daughter's birthday, suddenly a bloody ad pops up and you're thinking, well, how the hell can you enjoy that? And that's why when I started breaks on Gimco, I was like, well, the first thing is I'll go look at it from a entertainment perspective. So yeah. The things that used to piss me off, I don't want that happening in our breaks. I mean, I could turn ads in, you know. Yeah. I could be making money off this stuff. But what's the point of making a few extra bucks when it upsets the entertainment?
Correct.
And as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, a lot of us use the breaks to wind down after work.
Yeah,
exactly. We have a long, stressful job. Most of us do. We're working for someone who, you know, who's got deadlines and we got to rush, always understaffed. You come home and you're like, cool, I get to enjoy the hobby that I love.
And that's the thing. I've been overwhelmed myself from, look, I love it.
Mm.
And it's inbred in me now. But the messages from people and that say you just gave them 5 minutes of entertainment out of a real crappy day. Or it's kind of overwhelming for me that you're making, even if it's just a little tiny little difference in, you know, getting someone involved. You've seen from, we actually run a few barbecues and a few get-togethers and just the words from people saying, you know, it was a great day, and it's kind of, you know, something pretty special, I reckon.
It definitely is something special. I mean, I've been lucky, you know, like I've got a good job. So for me, buying cards that I want, it's basically become a routine.
Yeah.
Whereas for some people... who can afford, you know, just the $20 here or there, they might jump in and they could hit that $300-$400 card and it makes their day.
And look, that's where, yeah, you're right. Exactly. Where we started with Eureka in particular, people, well, you were there when certain people said certain things. I won't repeat them here, but they kind of were. It was an elitist kind of thing.
It was an elitist kind of thing, and it,
and in some corners, it still is.
It still is. Let's be honest. And it threw me off when I heard those words, honestly.
But for me, I wanted to involve everyone. The guy that goes and buys one pack, to the guy that doesn't buy any packs, but he just likes looking or whatever. Doesn't have to be an elitist thing. You might collect, you know, base cards. You do base sets. And that's what you like to do. Good on you. That doesn't, you know, you shouldn't be separated because you don't do super high end or you do this or you do that. I think that has to change. If you want this hobby to grow, you have to accept everyone, because without certain elements, it won't grow. It'll be, you'll get the same 15 blokes. When they're 80, they'll be still doing it with no one else.
That is true, yeah. And not just that, but the one thing that shocked me is, well, not so much shocked me, it's more surprised, is that most people, they actually want to be friends first as well.
Yeah, correct.
So it's not just about the cards. You get to know them on a personal level. So it's actually, I mean, if I just had to deal with my mum and just my wife and a few of my friends, you hear the same stories over and over because you run out of things. But with new people in the hobby,
yeah, agreed,
talking to you, becoming friends of you, you learn so much about what they're like, what you know, what the world's like, and then you actually learn to appreciate, you know, the things that you do have as well. Because, I mean, I was lucky; I got out of a really shitty situation in Europe when I moved here, but it did take a long time for me to get to this, but I actually do appreciate where I am now, you know. And when, at the same time, you look at some of those elitists, that, to them, they'll drop, you know, 10 grand on something and go, yeah, what's next? And, I mean, I'm happy to hit a, you know, just a card I need for my set. It could be, I mean, the pack might have cost me $7.
Yeah.
But if I hit a $2 card that I need, you know, I'm happy. You know, I'm not disappointed I didn't get the case hit or the box hit, because I've only spent $7, you know. Yeah. Whereas some people expect to maybe packet search and hit the big one and then move on and let everyone else handle the base. But
well, it is.
It is.
Now, with the podcast, this is our first one. We do have a friend, Jay, who's doing some as well. He's doing mainly basketball. Where do you see this going?
The podcast, well, a funny thing you should say that, I sort of envisioned, it was more to do with gaming though, a little kind of like a video segmenty thing, but I think with the podcast, if we can get enough interesting collectors who want to talk,
yeah,
it'll provide some entertainment for everyone, and I still have that vision, so in the future, we'll probably, I don't know how I'll do it, but it'll be a segmented thing so people can do things.
Yeah.
Look,
in the perfect world, what I see is, you know, 10 to 20 different guys doing it on through Gimco. People get bored. I spend what little time I have spare listening to the podcast all the time. Stone Cold podcast, Chris Jericho. There's a whole bunch I listen to, mainly wrestling ones, but I've started listening to a few different sport ones as well. And it's fun if you're doing something just to listen to the podcast. So as many different voices as you can get, you know, everyone says someone's got something they like, you know, something might not be their cup of tea, but they can flick on and see someone else. Or, but with you, I'm with you with time. I mean, me and you speak often.
I speak
to you more than I speak to anyone. We envisage a lot of things, but time is the killer, isn't it?
It is the killer. I mean, as you know, and some of the people, you can see my eyes from here.
Yes, okay.
They can't on the podcast, but I never had wrinkles. Now I've got three lines underneath my left eye. My eyes are failing. I reckon I'm running on maybe 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, but I do it because I enjoy it.
And the same. Look, people don't see the... People see the fun in the breaks, or they don't see the behind the scenes. We actually were going to set up a camera one day and just show someone that, I mean, doing 5-6 breaks in a, you know, a day or whatever you're doing, it's the 12 to 18 hours afterwards sorting and packing that no one sees, the enveloping, the it's draining. And if you've got a job as well,
oh, it's definitely draining. I mean, for me, the way I pack now, I've tried different methods, but what I do is I'll sort the cards one night, next night I'll package them up in their one touch bags, and then at lunchtime at work I'll put them in the envelopes, and then at 4 o'clock I'll go to the post office, and then I'll sit back till 7 to catch up on work. And
I don't mind going to the post office, just between me and you.
I know, I heard the story.
It's become part of my daily routine, even when I don't have letters, but that's another story.
That is another story, but so it is time consuming, but it is rewarding. It gives me purpose, you know, otherwise I'd be bored. And I used to sleep maybe 6 hours, which is still less than most people, but I'll be up at midnight, no one's talking to me, and at least now there'll be someone messaging. I mean, I remember when you first started and the breaks were slow.
Yes.
You were like, oh, I'm going to bed. It's like 8 o'clock. Like, what the hell? Now it's like 2 a.m. or whatever.
I have merged into you. You know that. I get maybe 6 hours if I'm lucky. Mm. 2 o'clock, you know, wake up at 7.
Yep.
Get up to pack and go to work, come back, pack, finish, next day, get them out.
Yep.
It's become that. But yeah, I never really understood you when you said, oh, you're still up. I was thinking, what is this guy on? And then I've quickly and found out why you were doing that.
Yeah, well, as you see, I mean, with running Gymco, I got to back up the database, then do the accounting stuff for each month. What else do I got to do? Set up the breaks. I list stuff for other people as well sometimes.
Yep.
So all the hours just go. And then you're right, there's so little time, but there's so much vision we have. But where do we get the time to do it?
That's the problem.
I mean, I could quit my job, but, you know, with a mortgage and that, it's kind of hard to do. And you're relying on the job to, you know, pay the bills, essentially.
Correct. Now, this question, this is going to throw you, but you don't know what I'm going to ask you here. So, don't smile.
All right, let's go.
Your thoughts on me?
On you?
What did you think when the first time you saw me and Dan? You can be honest here. I'm not going to strangle you.
Well, I didn't really know you.
So you didn't. So that's right.
That's true, yeah. Dan, I kind of knew from a deal I did on a forum once. But I guess what I noticed was you're very determined and passionate. So you let nothing step in your way to achieve what you wanted. Dan was more relaxed and just, you know...
Dan was
basically. I don't know how to describe it, but... And, you know, I like to drive, so...
Got me in trouble, too.
It got you in trouble. We had a few hiccups, as you know.
Yes.
Unfortunately, not everyone wanted to work together, I try to keep everyone...
Which I never understood.
Yeah, I never understood myself.
For people, we don't have to go back into dirty, mucky water, but I never understood that.
Me neither. And it shocked me. Like, you'd be messaging me about, I'm going, are you kidding me? We just talked about it, you know, 2 days ago. And it was like, yes, I agree. Sorry. And why say sorry if you don't mean it?
Yes.
And it was just like, I don't know. But at least, look, it is the past, so we shouldn't dwell on it too much. But, you know, at least we understand that we want the hobby to prosper.
Correct.
So... We do argue sometimes. We have different opinions, but we don't hate each other for it.
No, correct.
We talk it out. You know, honesty is the best policy. So, you know, that's the way you sort things out. You don't...
Look, trust is there between,
trust,
between
there is,
us.
Yes.
So that's the key, I think. The one thing I'll say about the whole card hobby, the trust factor... What word will I use here?
Trust factor. Well, I mean, if we have to compare it to something, maybe not a word. Game of Thrones.
Well,
honestly.
I've said it before. Yeah. I have said it before. Let's be honest. I said that. It's like the Game of Thrones, and it shouldn't be. But it is.
No.
But it is.
It is, and it's it's petty, to be honest. And I mean, you know where my position is. I've always tried to help everyone. I've always been in the... I used to be in the background. I was happy to sit there in the background. I was happy to help.
That's my next question for you.
Yeah.
You were behind the scenes for so long.
Mm.
How does it feel? Or how did it feel the first time you were in front of the screen?
It was different because being an engineer, I'm always... We're programmed to help people.
Yes.
So... And that's the other thing I liked about you. You actually listened. So when I suggested something, you take it on board and work with it or improve on it or make it better. And others wouldn't listen. So they'd jump on Gimco. Then they'd message a little friend going, oh, you know what? I'm on here. Can I do shit on your stuff? So they'd be like, yeah, if you pull from Gimco, we'll let you do stuff. Then they get backstabbed. Game of Thrones, here we go.
Yep.
I've never once... Everyone who has willing to help me, I've helped. And in turn, those people have helped me as well. So, I mean, it'd be nice to get a few more people like that willing to, you know, contribute and help the hobby grow.
Because in a perfect world, and I've heard every man and his dog say, the hobby is this or the hobby is that or everyone for the hobby. But let's be honest, it's not that way. In a perfect world, I wish it was. And I tried early days when I came in. I told you, I went to every different person I could and said, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Would you be interested in that? And the one thing that got in the way, they all said it'll never work because there's too many egos.
Yep.
And look, some people might not like the way I do things, and I'm sure there is many people who don't like the way I do things, but I'm a product of what environment there was around.
Well, it's true. I mean, going back... what, 2 years now maybe, when you first started doing NBA.
Yeah.
So AFL was a different beast.
Correct.
NBA, I won't mention where, but I tried to contribute to a community of NBA people. They were happy to take what I offered. They said, you know what, because you're helping us, you're allowed to advertise the breaks. The moment I advertised the breaks, alarm bells went up, fences went up, there were guys pointing guns at me saying, what are you doing? Why are you advertising Steve's breaks? And I'm like, well, why not? I mean, Steve's on Gimco. I'm there providing a service. And that's why I was happy to be behind the scenes. I was happy to do all those functions to make your life easier. So all you had to focus was on the break. So I'll do the videos, you know, the posting of whatever. But yeah, a few out west, let's call them, of Australia... they weren't too happy with that, and we've always been on our own. So we've never had any favors. We've always done things the slow and steady way. And now that you've achieved it, people just want to knock on your door and take what you've got.
And the easy way out, which annoys me, which some people don't understand. And I won't go full on into it, but, you know, you put your time, your heart, your soul, and you do things the right way. Never took a shortcut. And when someone just wants to come in and take that shortcut, for me personally, I take it very, very personally. And people say, oh, just let it roll over. But that's not the way I was built. I'm not built that way. I can't just roll over. You know, I find it, my anger levels, I'd hate to live with me, put it that way, because I change 50 times in a day as it is, happy, sad, angry, happy, sad. It'd be a nightmare. But I'll say this, my love for cards outweighs all the crap, and that's the driver for me personally. And I know it's the driver for you as
it
well
is,
yeah. You love collecting.
I mean, there are many times, you know, we've talked about,
you said we're gonna pull the pin,
to too many, you know, idiots trying to sabotage things and
correct,
do back behind scenes things. But at the end of the night, I always wake up next morning thinking I still love the cardboard, basically.
It's gotcha.
It does, yeah.
It's like me in a toy store. I try to leave, not buying anything, but my hands start shaking.
They do, yeah.
I end up walking out with something. But, yeah, characters. I wrote down a name, characters along the way. There's been a few.
You mean in our space?
in their space, since you've started Gimco characters along the way, there's been a handful.
There's been a few. I don't know if we want to name them, but...
Well, we can.
There was a few characters.
The character thing, I think it's brilliant. And seeing someone's character is great. I don't like the yes man.
Yep.
You want to see someone's true character come out, which is great. I think, you know, guys like Richo, Paul Richardson is a guy on the page, Robert Verhoeve, Matt Nelson. There's a whole range of different characters that do different things and are fun and make it... look, to be honest, for me personally, I hardly speak to anyone in my family. The last 2 to 3 years, I've spoken to more to a group of people, some of them I haven't met, but have spoken onto a computer, more than I've spoke to anyone. And I love the characters in the hobby. I think it's great. You don't want robots.
No, you don't want robots. And whereas the difference between us is we love the character. We don't care about the money they have.
Correct.
Others want their white whales or whatever they call them.
Yes, we've heard that one too. You need three white whales. Well, sorry.
Was it three or five?
Well, it might have been five.
I mean, and the other character, I mean, like Lucy, for example.
Yes.
You know, she'll jump in a break here or there. She'll cheer up the chat. Same with Brad. You know, he's always there supporting chat. He may not even be in the break.
Brad's an interesting one because when he was... The first time he started commenting and things, I thought, nah, this guy's full of crap. I'll be honest. And then I met him in real life and he's not. That is him. That's him. He is that good of a bloke.
He is. He's very cheerful.
He is.
And I mean, even when he came here and his knees were buggered, I thought, shit, this guy's going to... His knees are going to fall off. I'm going, crap, what the hell do I do? How do I handle this? But he was happy. Not once did he complain about it. He just walked to my house slowly.
From the day dot, he's been positive.
He has, yes.
I've never met a more positive person than him. He is positive. Win, lose or draw, he's positive. And it's a great thing to be.
Well, even on his Facebook, every time Sydney lost the first, was it 6 or 7 games, he'll be like, tough week.
Yep.
We'll do better. I mean, I probably would have given up after 3 weeks on Essendon going, you assholes, you know, you should be
correct
playing better. And not Brad just kept being positive and look where they are now,
turns
Sydney.
Turns around, exactly.
It turns around, yeah. So they will probably stay in the eight and play finals.
Yep. Well, as we wind this down, we're about to the hour mark. The first podcast, I thought I had to have you on. You didn't really want to do it, but I'm glad you did. Gimco, the place to be, where collectors collect.
Well, you'd hope
connect.
So.
What
connect.
Is it?
Connect.
Where collectors connect.
It is.
Big things for the future.
There is big things. And there are... Well, we always, as you know, we always try to give out things during breaks, and for Beyond Blue, you've been doing a great job collecting money. And what's that reach? What, 6,000 now?
6,000, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that was a shock. I'll be honest. In my whole period of time doing breaks or being, you know, running a page, that hit home the most. Only because we saw Aaron... 2 weeks beforehand.
It was probably 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, to the day, I think. It was 2 weeks beforehand, and then he disappeared. He left us. That shook me to the core.
Well, it did, and to be honest with you, people always told me about, you know, suicide and that.
And you don't...
And I've never met anyone who's...
Correct.
Who's done it.
Same for me.
And then when you actually meet someone who's done it, and you've bonded with them, it's a big impact on your life.
It is. It's a shock. That out of everything, look, and there's been some dodgy things happen, but that is the most shocking thing to me, because, look, you think in your mind, could you have said something different, or, you know, could you have said something at the barbecue and made him happy, or, but in the end, you're fighting a losing battle there. You couldn't have done anything, I don't think.
Yep. Well, it's true. I mean, and you don't know how long it's been on his mind as well, you know, so, or anyone's mind really. But it was, you know, as I said, an eye opener. And as long, like you said, if we can save one life out there, it'll be every dollar we raise has been worth it. So,
and look, yes, we've raised the money, but there's been some good people along the journey. I'll have to give a shout out to Liam Bowen.
Yep.
His generosity, I've said it that many times that it's on a level that I haven't even got a level of it. It's unbelievable. In a world where everything is money, really. I mean, I've witnessed it firsthand. My old man passed away 10 years ago, and I saw what money does to people. People change. He does things out of the goodness of his heart. There's been many others with him. I'm going to have to give a shout-out to Tony Duclos, even though I know he doesn't want to get any publicity at all. He is just a gem of a bloke. Proud to have met him. Another one who's done many things for Beyond Blue. Even last week when Nancy messaged me out of Nancy KO, I think her last name is, just out of the blue, just messaged me and said, look, if I give you some cards, can you put the money towards Beyond Blue? It just threw me. It
was like, what threw me was the quality of cards as well. It was like, wow, there's a cat.
Who else was it?
And
Porzingis.
Porzingis, yeah.
Rookie autos. It was like, whoa, okay.
You know, I mean, who gives them up, you know?
Look, that's great. And there's even the little bloke that gives it, you know.
Yep.
I'll speak of Nathan Blackledge, who I never, ever met, and came to the barbecue and said, look, I want to shave my head and raise some money for Beyond Blue. And he brought a tin of money. He goes, here, give this to Beyond Blue. And I was like, you don't even know me, mate. You know, like, the good always outweighs the bad.
It does, yeah.
It does, and it's the driver to continue as well. It's
and I mean, the best part is, before every barbecue, we always talk about, well, how can it be better?
Yeah.
There's always someone new that comes to the barbecue, and they always.
Well, I'll look at the last one. Last for example. One, yeah. I'll self indulge a little bit here. Yeah. The birthday cake. Through me, I went home with a smile on my face 10 miles wide. It was like unbelievable.
Yep. Well, I did ask Ashley to bake it. I was like, you know what, if you don't have the time.
But Ashley didn't know us. That's the
she
thing.
Didn't know. And she's like, look, I'm happy to pay you and all this. She's like, no. I love cooking. I'll do it. And Steve's a great bloke. And I don't know if you saw, I was pretending I didn't have your pop. And
I know.
I had to cover them.
Because I was confused. And yeah, I was lost, but I didn't, because that wasn't even in my mind, you know, and it blew me away. It was, and that's the goodness of it.
It is, yeah. And, you know, and even, I mean, she made the barbecue, you know, next level. I mean, food.
Did.
She brought the food quality. There as well. I mean.
And all out of her own pocket.
Out of her own pocket, this is what,
and this is what, I've said it many times, people are probably bored of hearing it, the spirit. You can copy things, you can imitate, but you can't get the soul. And the soul is very good.
It is, yes.
And you're part of that. You're the main part. You're Gimco. You are the face. Others, you know, you've got, who are the other people involved anyway? Give them a shout out.
The other people, you got Mike Badakis, big NRL guy in New South Wales. The moment he's working with Telstra, so he's sort of like Dan doing the same similar work. You got Bainey, who's he does the financials, and he's studying to do something at the moment. And you've got Brett, who helps us program here and there in his spare time when he can. So I've been somewhat lucky, you know. He does donate a lot of his time as well to the site. So, unfortunately, I'm a dinosaur, so I'm used to Notepad. So everything I program is in Notepad. He'll be like, "What the hell are you doing? Why are you destroying my code?" And I'll be like, "Well, I had to get it done." And I go, "You can fix it." And so it'd be nice, you know, it'd be nice to get more developers happening, but they do cost a lot of money, unfortunately. So things progress slowly, but they do happen. So, well, and that's where, you know, even people ask me, "Oh, why do I pay fees for my own breaks?" Well, I mean, a server costs every month. There's the verification system that costs every month. maintenance, you know, and I'm trying to save up a little bit so the developers, you know, can work on some of the projects I've had sitting there in the background.
Well, as we wind this right down now, I want to say thank you for being part of the very first podcast.
It's an honor, and it went for those who are thinking about it, it's actually not that daunting. It's time flies quickly, actually.
It does.
If you talk to someone, so if Steve asks you to talk about your cards or whatever,
don't be shy,
jump on board, and we'll all like to hear your story. And remember, podcasts, it's a great way to kill time on a train when you're going to work, or even at work, you know.
Correct. Put them in, plug them in, and do what you're doing, and have a listen. They'll be up. This will be up on Gimco. I don't know. You tell me.
A couple of days. Yeah. So we'll wait for. The reason we won't post it now is we'll wait for the surprise of that select card.
Correct.
So by then, you know what we're actually talking about. And look, we'll build from there. So the first one may not be perfect, but I'll iron out all the bugs and they'll get better as we go.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, brother.
That's all right, brother.
I'll see you in the near future. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And hopefully you tune in and catch the next one. There's a whole bunch coming. So thank you and good night.
Good night, all.